I'm really excited about this message. It's been just burning inside of me. We're gonna do the Powerful Blood of Jesus, Part 5. And what we're gonna talk about is sanctification by His blood. And so I'm just gonna briefly just talk about, just kind of summarize where we've been from. You know, we talked about just the power of the blood of Jesus. It's the most powerful substance on earth, the most powerful substance that there is. And how when we look through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, God was really making it clear that to redeem mankind, that there was going to be a blood sacrifice to bring man back to God, that there was going to be, that blood was necessary, that there had to be death, that there had to be a payment for sin. But God so loved the world that what He did is He came in the form of man to be able to take the full brunt of the punishment for sin in Jesus, so that mankind was protected, because God was, you know, torn between His love for man and His hatred of sin. He didn't hate man, He hated sin. And so Jesus, as man, took the full penalty for that, for us, so that we could be free, and so that we could come into Him and live in that. And so we talked about that, and we talked about the fact that, you know, that the blood of Jesus satisfies the wrath of God, and it satisfies the love of God, the holiness of God. It removes guilt, so no longer do we live with guilt, because Jesus paid for everything. And then the last time I talked 2 weeks ago about this, I talked about cleansing by the blood and how his blood cleanses us. So not only are we free of the guilt of sin, but we're cleansed of the defilement of sin once we receive Jesus Christ. And it says in 1 John that the blood of Jesus Christ continuously washes us of all sin. So we are continuously cleansed. We're continuously welcomed into His presence. It's not based on us. It's based on what Jesus did for us. It's a free gift of grace. None of us earned it. None of us were good enough to get it. It was just because Jesus loved us. He took the full wrath and penalty for everything we've ever done wrong or ever will do wrong. He took all of it so that we could be stand, because His desire was to restore us back to who we were always created to be. And that's so important to me for us to understand, because a lot of times people see themselves as that organically they're a sinner and God's just trying to get them, you know, into heaven. But organically you were a saint who came into a fallen creation, and then he regenerates you through a new birth to bring you back to who you were always created to be. You know, like you finally have a suit that fits. You know, so you're not, you were created to be righteous, you were created to be holy, you were created in His image and likeness. And so it's so important for us to understand that's the foundation of the way we were created. We just had come into a fallen creation, so we were fallen, and He had to regenerate us and bring us back to who we were created to be. So, and this is what Jesus did. So today, I want to talk about the sanctification. Because this is the fullness, like all this other stuff that Jesus did was to bring us to the point to sanctify us and to make us sanctified, and then bring us through the sanctification process to experience our oneness with God. That's it. Like everything else leads up to this. It leads up to this. So what is sanctification? To sanctify is to mean to make holy, and signifies to set apart for God. It's to make a person or thing the opposite of common. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago when I taught, where Peter, remember Peter was on, he was on the rooftop, and three times that he had this vision of the sheet coming down with unclean animals. And God said, take and eat. And he said, but I've never eaten anything unclean. And he said, what God has cleansed, you call common. And what God was saying, because God knew Cornelius was coming. Cornelius was a Gentile, and Gentiles were considered unclean. And what God was saying is, listen, Jesus' blood even paid for the Gentiles, right? So being sanctified is to be made holy, to be set apart, to no longer be common anymore. Okay, so if we look at Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 26, it says, Christ loved the church, and we are the church individually as well, and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So his whole desire is to restore you back to the glorious creation you were created to be, that you would be glorious, that you would glorify God in your life, and that you are holy without blemish. And this is why Christ came. He came to restore each one of us to that. He came to restore. So it's us being glorious, holy, and without blemish. Now, if we look at the word sanctify and like we look at Old Testament examples of what God did to sanctify, it's throughout the Bible. Even if you look at like creation, there were 7 days. And the seventh day God set aside and blessed it as a special day, right? That was God's day, the seventh day, the day of rest. It doesn't mean that the other 6 days were bad, right? Because God saw all that he made and it was good, but he set apart the seventh day for himself. So right from the beginning, you see where God sanctifies something special to himself. And that's a picture of what he does in us. If you look at Israel, how he separated Israel from other nations. Did God love the whole world? Yeah, he did love the whole world. And yet he set Israel apart as a special people that he could show his blessing and his honor upon. And then within Israel, he set apart the Levites. Okay, the Levites were set apart, and that was a tribe. They were set apart to go and they ministered. They were they took care of the sanctuary or the temple where the offerings were made. And then from the Levites, he set aside the priests. Right now, the Levites were cleansed with water; they were sprinkled with water, but the priests were sprinkled with blood. Right? And so you can see the closer and closer there's a union with God, there's an application of the blood that makes that possible. And this is all, so we, whenever you look in the Old Testament, the priests are a picture of who we are. Okay, so it's important to understand that the priests are a picture of what Jesus has created us to be. And so you see there's an application of blood to set apart the priests. So the Levites cared for the sanctuary, but the priests were the one who ministered directly to God. Even a tithe, if you look at the tithe, like all the money that we receive, right, we're blessed by God, but we're supposed to take 10% and set it aside for God. That's like a sanctification. That's a setting apart. That's a dedication of things to God. So let's look more at this. God is the one who separates us to sanctification. It's his own work, and it's an act of his grace. If we look at Leviticus 20, 26, it says, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." Numbers 16, 7, "And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the holy one." So it's God's choosing. He's the one who chooses us for redemption, for salvation. He's the one who sets us apart. It's nothing that any of us have earned. None of us were worthy of it. It's just, he just loves us, and he just chose us, and he just set us apart. And so it's us receiving that. If we look at Deuteronomy 7:6, it says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth." Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation." So he's the one who sanctifies. He's the one who sets apart. It's an act of his will. And Jesus, of course, we saw in Ephesians that Jesus sanctified us by his blood, by that offering. Now, God also sanctifies objects, like he'll sanctify an altar and different buildings and things like that he set apart. Those are sanctified and set apart, but they're different than us in that we have a free will. So God can sanctify us, but we have to cooperate with that process. And that's what the sanctification process is. So this is the crawling off of the altar. that we're not supposed to do. So he sanctifies us, but we must be willing to surrender to the separation. So it includes a personal consecration. So he sets us apart, but we have to choose to submit and surrender to that process. If you look at the Israelites, this is what happened to them. They were sanctified and set apart by God, but what did they do? They went after other idols. They went outside. So they didn't keep themselves special. They didn't recognize their specialness. They didn't follow the Lord. And so they mixed themselves with the world, right? And that's when things went south. Things go south when, you know, when you're consecrated and you don't honor the consecration. So God doesn't want it. God loves us so much. He doesn't want to share us with other lords. He really wants to be the Lord of his life, not because he's a control freak, but because he really, really, really loves us, and he knows who we were created to be, and he wants to develop that relationship with us to bring us into the fullness of who we are and enjoy that fellowship. So he sets us apart for the sanctification process. So let's go to the next slide here. So how is sanctification related to Jesus Christ's suffering? So here, Hebrews 13, 11, 12. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. So it's talking about the Old Testament and the Old Testament offerings, right? And they were offered, and then they were burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So that he could, because his desire was to sanctify each one of us and set us apart to who we were always created to be. And so he, just like the remains of those animals were put outside the gate and burned, so Jesus was crucified outside the gate. Wow. And so even in that, there was a coming out of Israel, coming out of the city, and so he was even sanctified in that. Like, he was outside the gate. Like, he set himself apart to be able to be an offering so that he could sanctify us and make and bring us into holiness. That's amazing. That's amazing. If we look at John 17:9, it says, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." So because of his suffering and death were a sanctification of himself so that he could go ahead and sanctify us. So, but we have to look at the fact that his own sanctification wasn't without temptation, right? I mean, he went into the wilderness for 40 days and he was tempted there. If you look at his life, you know, he said, "The ruler of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me." So Jesus came into the world, but he didn't let the world get into him. Because why? Because he was sanctified. He was set apart. And so he maintained that sanctification in his walk, even through all of his temptations. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. So he consecrated himself. He sanctified himself. You know, and he said that the Father had sanctified him. He yielded to that purpose of his life. He yielded to, because sanctification is to set apart for holiness. So the holiness of God, he set his life apart to be one with the Father and to follow the holiness of God. When we're fully sanctified, we're fully yielded to the holiness of God in our lives. And so that's what Jesus did. And he was tempted in all points, and yet, you know, he in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was tempted. I mean, he was tempted, I'm sure, throughout the whole process of his beatings, and then he goes to the cross, right? But he had determined that he was going to submit himself to the purpose for which he came here. He had sanctified himself. He had lined his will up with God. And here's the thing that's so incredible about this, is that not only was his sanctification what sanctified us, but it's also the fact that he submitted his will to this. It's like he gives us that power when we walk through our lives. Like, so it's not just the sanctification, it's the empowerment to be able to do it. Let's look at this. Let's look at the scripture here. Then he said, "Behold," he's quoting a psalm, this is in Hebrews, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." That's Jesus speaking. "By that will, We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. So by the act of his will, the fact that he lived a consecrated life, yes, he died and all of that, and so we are sanctified by that, but we're also sanctified by the fact that he had the will and ability to do that. Like, he imparts this to us. Okay, so as I was meditating on this, I was thinking about it, and it's like Jesus, so God came down in human form, and he lives out this life. He has the divine life in him. He has got the Zoe life of God in him, and he walks out this Zoe life, right? And as he does that, he's showing and he's empowering that ability to live that way. So he's like infusing into his flesh and blood, he's infusing not only the Holy Spirit of God, but he's infusing into his flesh and blood the ability to live that way. To have his will totally lined up with God is being infused into his very being in a human body. Because that hadn't been done before. It hadn't been in a human form. And so he's infusing that. And I believe that's why he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Because not only is the Holy Ghost in there, but the ability to live that way is in his flesh and in his blood. And that's why we take communion.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Hallelujah.
It's infused into it. It's infused into every cell of his being. It's infused. And when we take that in, we're not only getting the anointing and the Holy Spirit, we're getting the ability and power to live this life. Thank you, Jesus. I was sitting there, I'm just meditating on this, like, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Give me some blood. Give me some flesh. It's communion time. Oh, gosh. Oh, he's given us everything. He has given us everything. So he sanctified himself that we may be sanctified by the truth. And his perfect obedience was not only the cause of our salvation, but it was also the power by which sin was forever conquered. Let's look at this, Hebrews 10. It says, by this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And people get confused by that because it's like, am I sanctified or not? Well, you're sanctified and you're being sanctified. It's both. It's both. And we're going to talk about that. But by one offering, now he sat down. He's completed it. He's done. But he's perfected forever us as we walk through the sanctification process. So how is it obtained? Both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call us brethren. So we're one with him because when we're born again, his spirit comes to live inside of us. And we have the Holy Spirit, right? And so that act is us being sanctified. All of a sudden, we're not common. We have the Holy Ghost inside of us. We're regenerated by his power. And so we're new creations in Christ. And that is our sanctification. But it's kind of like the engagement ring. Right? And so it's like he's betrothed us to him, we're his, but there's a process that we need to go through till the full marriage. And so you're sanctified in that you're set apart, you're not common anymore, you're a new creation in Christ, it's secured by his ability, not yours, praise the Lord. So it's not like it doesn't change because you made a bad choice, he's in you, right? He's in you. And so you know that you can be secure in that. But then there's a process that we go through that's called the sanctification process, which is tearing off who we thought we were to reveal who we really are in him. And that's the process. And that's the sanctification process. So we're one with him because we're sustained by the same life. We've got the Zoe life of God in us, and he's got the Zoe life of him. We're born again. He's the sanctifier, and we are the sanctified, and the process of sanctification is what unites us with him. Look at this in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. It says, he has called you, is holy. You also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So many people get frustrated by this because it doesn't say do holy. It says be holy. Why? Because you're his offspring, he's your daddy, and just like your daddy's holy, you're holy. So get over it. I know you think you're bad and you think you did all these things and you're lower than a worm, but that's not what he says. He says you're holy. Why? Because you're his offspring. And because Jesus washed you, cleansed you up, and you're sanctified, set apart, you have holy purposes, you have a divine destiny and purpose, and he did that. And so you just be from that. You believe that that's true, and then you live from that place. Just be holy. Be holy. So, because he made you holy. And what is holiness in man? Holiness in man is when we totally line up with God, with his holiness, when our will lines up with his will, when our desires line up with his desires. And I want to say something, that it's not, God isn't like a master puppet, okay? Like when he sets you apart and he makes you holy, then, and you begin to learn that, like it starts transforming you. And then all of a sudden, like, he desires to co-create with you. You know, like okay, so for example, when we blessed my sister Alicia with a car. Now, with God up there in the heaven saying, okay, on this day, I want this to happen, and give you a car. No. He's imparted his nature and character into us. And so it's our desire to bless, because that's who our Father is. And so we look for opportunities to bless. And then we come and we say, oh, we'd like to see, bless Alicia with a car. And so the nature and character of God in all of us just comes together and brings that to be. And God is really pleased because we're reflecting his nature and character. But it wasn't like God was up in the heavens with little puppet strings making you do this and you do this and you say this. It's just the Holy Spirit is in all of us, and he's inspired to bless because that's the nature and character of who we are now that we are in Christ, right? So it's not like a robot. It's not a remote control. Does he guide and direct us? Yes, and the more we spend time with him, the more we become like him, and the more our nature, character, and actions will reflect him. Right? So that's why we just be it. So all of this, and this is what's so important, is to realize, like, everything I was explaining before about, like, the offerings and, you know, the removal of guilt and the cleansing, all, like I said, is all to bring us to this process so that we can be sanctified, set apart to holiness, and then go through the sanctification process. This is the whole reason why Jesus came, so that we could stand without blame before him in love. That's his purpose. So the process of sanctification is, well, wait a second before I go there. Sanctification can only be ours when we embrace it and allow it to affect every area of our lives. God will sanctify no man against his will. He's not going to strong arm us. So it's our cooperation with the process that is a key part of it. So the first thing we do is we separate ourselves. We separate ourselves. So one of the things we have to do is ask God, what does it look like for us? For example, many times what we do, we have to look at, like, relationships that we have. Are all the relationships we have helping us in our sanctification process? Are they part of our consecration? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes when we first get set apart, and really you need to reevaluate this in your whole life. I mean, it's constant a reevaluation. It's a constant reevaluation because he calls you to higher and higher and deeper levels. But so one of the processes is if he's set us apart to be holy, And if we're going to cooperate with that process, it's one of the things we need to say, it's, okay, God, what do I have in my life that is helpful, and what in my life isn't? Let's look at this. Because right now, all things are, Paul says, all things are, 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so the consecration process is one of our places of cooperation is, what is there in my life that is helpful and is pointing me towards who I am in Christ and developing my relationship with Jesus and helping me to walk out the holiness? And what in my life is a distraction? And what is pulling me away? I can give you lots of examples, but one thing I remember is that Amy and I had gone away on a trip with Logan, and I was helping to take care of him, and he was just really bored. So I had heard about the game Candy Crush, so I put it on my phone, and him and I started playing Candy Crush. Well, vacation's over with, Amy and Logan go back home. I've got Candy Crush on my phone. Oh my gosh. It was like the thing had a voice calling me, come play Candy Crush. And I find myself all of a sudden, I'm like playing it, like the phone has control over my life. And I'm like, now is it ungodly to play Candy Crush? No. But when it's taking an hour of your day, there's something wrong, you know? And so these are the things that we have to look at in our lives. Like, I mean, it's like sucks you in. It's like... Oh my gosh. So again, there's nothing illegal or ungodly about playing Candy Crush, but you know, what I have learned in my life is there are so many hours in a day, you know, and I need to choose, what are my priorities? Where am I going to invest my time? If I'm looking at Candy Crush, I'm not looking at the Word. I'm not spending time in relationships. I'm not spending time with Jesus. I'm not spending time with my grandson and my mom or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's only so many hours in a day, and God has set us apart as holy and righteous creations. And what are we going to do with our time? What are we going to do with our money? What are we going to do with our relationships? You know, when we first came to the Lord, we had some relationships. Well, they actually cut us off because... Because they were all believed in all that new age stuff that we were in. And so when we went to our friends and guess what? We're born again. We've come to Jesus. And they were like, okay. And we never heard from them again. You know, there might be relationships in your life that aren't helpful. And it's not that the relationship is bad, but is it pulling you away? Is it dragging you down? You know, is it bringing you into a deeper relationship with the Lord? Is the person edifying you and building you up? You know, so I mean, God makes changes. I can, one of the things, like when I first got born again, the Lord told me I had really long hair, and it was in curls, and there was nothing wrong with that, but one of the first things he told me to do was cut my hair. So I cut my hair. To be really personal here, I didn't wear a bra. For one of the first things Jesus said to me was, you need to buy a bra. I mean, God will be that personal with you. You know, why? Obviously, he doesn't have to wear them. But why? Because he was trying to say to me, you are righteous, you are holy, you are a beautiful woman of God, and that is not suiting for you. Right? So he might change the way you dress because it's not flattering who you really are in him. You are righteous and holy and beautiful. You're a princess. You're a king. You're a queen. And people who have that stature and that nobility and that beauty don't look like that. Don't behave that way. Don't dress that way. You know, when I was growing up, my maiden name is Houston, and in the community that I lived, that name had influence. And my ancestors were the people who actually had established the community of Blauvelt. I lived in the town of Blauvelt, and my ancestors were the Blauvelts. Our parents, my family was involved in politics. And many times when I would leave the house, my mother would say to me, remember, you're a Husted. And what did that mean? It meant, listen, carry yourself in a way that will honor this family. You know what Jesus says when you walk out the door? Remember, you're a child of God. Carry yourself in a way that will honor who you are and where you've come from and the family you belong to. And again, it's not because he's trying to spoil your day or ruin your fun. He's saying, listen, remember who you are. That's part of the, that's us cooperating with the sanctification process. It's us saying, I'm going to agree with what you say about me, and I'm going to live a life that lines up with who I am as a new creation. Right? Right? So that's the first step. Have I stepped on a lot of toes? You know, you even have to get rid of some, sometimes even in ministry. I mean, like us shutting down the Freedom and Hope Center. Like, I've learned, you can only do so many. I can't save the world, I've learned. Jesus did that. You know what I'm saying? You can only do so many things. And so there's even good things in ministry that aren't necessarily yours to do. And you need to let them go. You've been called to certain things, and you spend and focus your time on those things that the Lord gives you. So the next thing we need to do is to study Scripture. In the sanctification process, you need to read the Word of God. Find out who you are. Be sure that you're reading it with a proper perspective, you know, that you understand the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God for you, and you read it through that understanding and realize it's you know, I was thinking about this, it's the best romance novel in the world, is the Bible, right? And so you need to understand the love of God and how to read the Word properly to understand that it's God building you up, edifying you, loving you, pointing you to who you really are. And so reading the Word to get knowledge and understanding is absolutely important. What is the blood speaking to us? We need to wash our minds with the water of the Word. And understand that we and build relationships with people. You know, this is why we have like our Wednesday Bible studies. This is why we have men's group and women's group, because it's so important for us to build relationships with people who are going to speak truth to us and who are going to increase our knowledge and understanding in Christ. You know, I mean, it's great to come to these forums, but it's good to be in a forum where you can ask questions and you can interact with each other. So that's why we build relationships with people who are going to help you and build you up in Christ, right? But then, so we go through all that in the sanctification process, but then we get to my favorite part. Because you know what? You can't get to the full sanctification process without intimacy with Jesus. That's it. You know, you set yourself apart from the outward distractions. You begin to understand who you really are. But then to come to that full culmination of really being completely yielded to the holiness that he's put inside of you and the holiness that of who he is, there is the only way through that is to be in intimate relationship with Jesus. And that means you read the Scriptures and you get rid of distractions in your life and you clean things up. That's your part in it. But then it's sitting down with him. And it's spending time with him. And it's allowing him to take the Scriptures that you've read in the Bible over and over and over again, and all of a sudden he speaks it to you and it becomes real. That only happens in the secret place. That only happens in your special time with him. So the sanctification process is preparing us for the wedding. It's preparing us for the wedding. It's cleaning the bride up so that she really can really step into the fullness of the place that she is as the bride of Christ. And again, that only happens through union and communion with him. So this is where the Holy Spirit and the Father, that they speak to us. We give ourselves to worship and we grow in intimacy with him. And in this place, the blood starts to sanctify us and change us in ways that we don't even understand. I love, so we set ourselves apart. If we could look again here at Hebrews 12, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his approach. Oh, this is what I want. This scripture. I want to talk about this scripture. I got ahead of myself. This scripture I love. What I'm doing, you do not understand, but you will know after this. And this is the intimacy place. This is the place of intimacy. When we're with him and he's washing our feet, he's spending time with us, we're spending time with him. All the knowledge and understanding that you have of scriptures doesn't really help here. Like, you don't have to understand the sanctification process. All you do is yield to it. All you do is yield to it. And what's happening in that place, you don't understand, but you will. You know, when I went away to the Avila Center for a week, I went away, and I don't know if you remember when Bryant Borges was here, and he talked about how, you know, he had spent time alone. He had fasted, I guess, social media for a month, and then he had this powerful experience with Jesus where Jesus walked in the room, and he went to his, you know, he personally bent over and just wept for like an hour and everything, and he just felt Jesus' presence, and it was so powerful. So I went to the Avila Center, and I put my order in. Right? And so I went in there to spend time with the Lord, and originally I was only going to be there till Wednesday, and then the Lord, he kept telling me Friday at 9 a.m. And so finally I just called Randy and said, hey, listen, I'm going to stay here till Friday. The Lord's telling me I need to stay here till Friday at 9 a.m. So I just continued to spend time with him. I brought my Bible, I brought my worship music, and it was wonderful. I was having a good time just reading the word, spending time in his presence, worshiping, and just enjoying it. But I hadn't had like that powerful experience that I was looking for. And so Thursday night, I was spending time, and it was kind of like, you know, I'm leaving tomorrow morning, and what's going on here, you know? You always say you have no agenda, but you have an agenda. Okay. So, and it was just so beautiful, because I was just thinking about how much I just really wanted to experience him in deeper ways. And I could feel like frustration and all that old stuff start to come up. And I was like, no, God, you are faithful. And I know so many people who have spent time with you and they experience your presence and they know the depths of who you are. And I know if I show up, Lord, you will show up, that you're faithful, you're faithful. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, believe that he is here. Believe that he is here. And all of a sudden, I shifted my heart, and I just was like, you are here. And all of a sudden, it's like I just experienced his presence all over me and in the room. I just knew he was there. And it wasn't this big, powerful, anything like that. It was just this really subtle knowing that Jesus was there. And I thought to myself, that this was the perfect gift for me. You know, as much as I would have liked to have had that experience, it was like, because this perfect knowing that he's just here and I can sense his presence, I can do this anytime. I can experience this anytime. I can just turn my thoughts. Like, it was like the perfect gift for me. And so it's so important for us not to compare ourselves, but it's so important to us to just be in that quiet place and know that whatever he has is right for you, and just trust the process. Like he said to Peter, what I'm doing, you do not understand, but you will know after this. You will know after this. So just, we come to him, we come in his presence. So many people want to understand the word intellectually, and man, we need to get beyond that. It's all about being in his presence, and then he reveals things to you. It's just like that whole thing about the power of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It was, yeah, I had read scriptures and everything, but all I was doing was just sitting quietly in his presence, and I was just meditating on that scripture, and that's when it exploded. And only his presence can do that for us. Only our intimate relationship with him can do that for us. That's when it becomes alive to us. That's when it becomes real to us. And it's through the personal relationship with him. So you can't control it. You can't figure it out. All you can do, all your ability is to show up. You just show up. And then you trust the process. Trust the process. So now we can go to the next one. Where am I? Let's see here. There it is. Okay. So Hebrews 13, 12 through 13. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So we go outside the camp, we go to him. The culmination of sanctification is when God takes full possession of the temple. This is the ultimate work, is him imparting into us the fullness of his holiness. Let's look at some scriptures. 2 Peter 1, 4. We are partakers of the divine nature. We are partakers of his holiness. Exodus 29:43. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. We're the tabernacle. And the tabernacle becomes sanctified by his glory. This is when we are so yielded to him that we have completely surrendered to the glory. Psalm 63, let me see. Okay, 49. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. We are the sanctuary. I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. Ephesians 1:3-19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is what we're created for. To live in the fullness of God within each one of us. The impartation of his holiness is not a gift apart from God himself. It is our personal fellowship with him and partaking of his divine life that sanctification is obtained. As the Holy One, he dwells in us and his presence actually sanctifies. So this is when all the divine virtues as revealed in Jesus Christ are fully taking residence and operating in our lives. When we're completely consumed and taken over by him, that union, our union with God is our fellowship with him, our willingness to share his life, and then we become totally conformed to his image. That's the culmination of the sanctification process. And that's our whole journey in Christ. Again, therefore, Jesus, also that he might sanctify the people. I know I did this one before, but with his own blood suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. You're going to bear reproach. Not everybody is going to be all excited that you're decided to follow Jesus and be sanctified. That's not, I mean, oh, yay! No, that's not going to happen. Not everyone's going to be really excited about the process, but here we are. We were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's the one who sanctifies his people, so we can't sanctify ourselves. He needs to teach us about the power of the blood. And the thing that I've seen the most in my own personal life is it is a yielding. It is not a doing. Even when you sit alone with him, like, you can't make anything happen. The only thing you can do is you sit there and you just start yielding to him. You Lord, I just yield to you. I yield to you. I yield to you. Just have your way. And it's recognizing that he's there, but he's here. And I yield to you inside of me. I yield to your presence. I embrace the truth of who you say I am. You know, and despite all evidence to the contrary, I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm precious. I'm your beloved. I'm the object of your affection. Because I promise this process cannot happen if you cannot learn how to receive from God. And so we each need to learn how to be the object of his affection. And a lot of us are really uncomfortable with that. But you need to be able to sit there and let him embrace you, kiss you, understand that he died for you personally, and he loves you with an incredible amount of love, and he just wants you to understand how much you're loved by him. And when you begin to realize how much you're loved by him and you yield to that, all of a sudden there's this merging that goes on. And all the things that you've tried to change about yourself, you know, all of a sudden just start changing. Because your desires change, because your wants change, everything just starts changing about you. Why? Because all of a sudden you're yielding to his presence that's already in you. And why we fight that? Because it's very painful. We just yield to that presence inside of us that is him, and yield to that love he has for us. And all of a sudden our lives just start looking different. And then you're not gritting your teeth to love someone. You really love them. Why? Because it's his love inside of you. It's a yielding. You know, we yielded to the devil, and we can yield to God. You know, one friend of ours was like one of the homeless guys that we've dealt with over the years, and he said that he didn't like being in a halfway house because they were controlling him. He wanted to be able to be out and do his own thing. Well, being out and doing his own thing included drinking. And I said to him, you know, I said, Randy came home and told me, and I'm like, what he doesn't understand is guess who's controlling him? Like, he thinks he's not being controlled now. No, you are being controlled. It's just the devil. You know, you're yielding. We're either yielding ourselves to the holiness of God that dwells inside of us and the beauty of who he is and who we really were created to be, or we're yielding to a lie about who we used to be and who he never created us to be. And so the whole process of sanctification is just the yielding and yielding and yielding to the truth of who we are in him as a free gift. And this is what I promise. It will take longer than you thought, and it will cost you more than you thought you were willing to pay. But it will be absolutely worth it. Amen? Amen. So Lord, we just thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you so much for your presence here. And Lord, we just sanctify ourselves to you. We just surrender to this process. We just love you, Lord. And I know that our heart's desire is to just really let you have your way in our lives fully. So Lord, we just yield ourselves to you. We stop arguing with how beautiful you say we are, how righteous you say we are, how holy you say we are, how pure you say we are. We just let go of our pride and embrace the truth of who you say we are. And we allow you to love us and lift us up. And we just thank you, Lord, for your beauty, your presence, and your love, and your great sacrifice through your blood. In Jesus' name, amen.